Today is a very special episode of Deliberations. We had a group interview slash reunion for the Samantha Hall jury, and it is so hilarious and fun and enlightening to get everyone back together and hear what their experiences were, both recording the deliberations and then listening to the podcast afterward. You're finally going to get to hear the real story behind the fiction. I'll reiterate, this is an extraordinary group of performers, and they could not be more fun to hang out with. This will be fun, so please enjoy this ad-free episode. Welcome to the season one group interview jury reunion. Yes?
Yay! Yay.
We are all here except for Carl. He's going to be joining us momentarily. He's running a few minutes late, and we decided to start without him. Firstly, thank you guys for coming back and for rejoining today. Really, really nice of you. I've gotten a lot of follow-up questions about you and your actual opinions versus your character's opinions, and I was hoping this could be a really kind of informal discussion. So the first thing I want to ask is, did you find the process of being in the deliberations room more stressful or more fun? Because it sounded like you're such good performers that it really sounded like you guys were stressed at certain points during the production. So I was just curious if there was that element present or whether it was a fun experience for you.
Who wants to take it?
Who wants to take it first?
Foreman.
It looks like Sierra wants to say something.
Yeah. Hey,
oh, and
Sierra.
Feel free to introduce. Yeah,
Sierra, who played Mandy. It vacillated between fun and stressful, I got to say, because you do get wrapped up in it. I'm sure as a performer, you kind of like, you know, you feel that passion, especially with such a well-written story. Like, just hearing the dialogue that was pre-recorded that we listened to about the trial and everything, I got wrapped up in like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to go like this and like this, you know. And sometimes it was so fun, and sometimes I was like, God damn it, Carl. Like, shut up, you know. So it kind of was with both for me.
It was, you know, I remember because we record the, this is Adam, by the way, I played Dominic. we recorded the deliberations in like little sections, and sometimes they were like 10-minute sections, sometimes they were 5-minute sections or whatever. And during the particularly heated ones, which was great because I was actually sitting between Mandy and Sam, who play Carl Sierra. So that was really wonderful being in the middle of that. And I remember there would always be like these little collective like laughs or sighs once you yelled cut. It was like, you know, just this little release because there'd been this tension that had built up. And I remember in particular when we did the final deliberation, which I believe took an hour to record.
It was,
yeah. 1 hour straight of just recording. And then once that was over, there was, I don't know if you guys felt it, but there was like this collective sigh.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And then we all kind of looked at each other, and I remember we smiled, laughed. We were like, that was really fun.
Even when it got really intense, this is Macklin, I played Mason. Even when it got really intense for me, it was still really fun. The stress that I felt was just wondering if it's compelling and what things, what are things we can do as actors to spice up the drama in it. And I probably worried more about that than I needed to in retrospect. But that was the stress for me, is making sure the conversation sounded natural, making sure these characters sounded like they were actually interacting with each other, and to try to just make the podcast good. But I those stressful moments, so to speak, were really fun for me. I really enjoyed those.
And this is Lindsay. I played Steph. I think I know, at least for me, when we first started off, I was like, okay, I'm an actor. I'm playing this role. You know, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We've got these bullet points to hit, and then we just improv. But as it went on, it was just like, I totally forgot that, you know, I was an actor playing a scene. I was like so invested in what the story that we were telling in the deliberations that it just kind of became very organic. And I was like, we went full on method for this. And I remember at first we were really concerned about like, okay, do we have a certain time frame? Do we have to get this done? And you're just, you know, Chelsea was just like, no, just go. And we all ended up, like every episode, we ended up coming to a natural conclusion. Like she never had to say cut or whatever. And we all just kind of found our way through the conversation to its natural ending. And, it just felt great. Yeah,
we were keeping like informal tabs on who got the last line.
Yes,
in
I know. I was remembering that as I re-listened to it. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was a good ending, Janet.
Who won? Yeah. Did we ever determine that?
I'm sure it was Carl or Mandy.
Definitely wasn't me. I'm Alice. That played Janet. But I do remember that one line.
Yeah.
And when I listened to it, I was like, darn, I wish I was a little bit louder.
Was it the, like, and now we'll never know or something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
I remember that. I heard you say it, and I was like, that was a good, that's the one that stands out for me. Yeah. I was like, if only we had that.
It was
not
fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
I will say this, though, to your point, Macklin, that I'm glad you had your finger on the pulse of, like, the conversational, like, conflict that needed to occur, because it played really well, I think. There were a couple points when you called out Carl specifically, and things got heated. Mm-hmm. And for listeners, Macklin and Sam, which are Mason and Carl, they were positioned on like opposite ends of the table. And so like they were both kind of seated at the head of the table because this was a long conference table we were all sitting at. And those moments were really stressful for me.
That's why there are moments in the last episode when Adam, who plays Dominic, I remember a couple times veered the conversation back towards something that I had said that had gotten like swept under the rug briefly, and it felt really significant because he was sitting right next to the character of Carl, and to form this like alliance across the table with someone who was sitting right next to my mortal enemy was like really really fun.
I want to know how closely aligned each of your opinions were to those of your characters. Because for those listening who aren't aware, everyone was giving a character profile that lent toward, I think you leaned towards guilty or innocence, or maybe just from your character background. And it was very brief. I'm talking about like maybe a paragraph worth of material that each of these actors received. And that alone is what they went off of. And so,
Hey!
Carl's here. Carl just walked in. His name is Sam.
Sam's here.
Hey,
Sam's
Sam.
Sam's eating.
Yeah.
By the way, I just need to call this out because I love it. I sent Sam an email, and he was running a few minutes late, and I'm like, hey, just, you know, come on in, let yourself in, grab a beer off the coffee table if you want, and meet us in the recording room. And he just walked in with two. So he's my hero.
He said,
that's one of those.
And now it's the whole gang is here.
Hello,
hey.
Everyone. Hello.
Hi.
Sam, hey.
So I was just asking everyone how closely aligned your real opinions were to those of your characters. So if anyone wants to jump in.
I feel like everyone would want to know about Carl's. Sam,
I know,
versus
maybe you should go
Carl.
Last.
I don't know. This is Lindsay Steph again. I definitely personally was of the not guilty, you know, possibly criminal negligence. But I definitely... I'm a very open-minded person and didn't want to see her get arrested for anything. And, you know, Steph's character was kind of the moderate, kind of started off not knowing which way to go and then, you know, eventually finding her way to criminal... What did we decide? Manslaughter?
Manslaughter.
Manslaughter. There we go. But me personally, I was kind of more criminal negligence to not guilty side of things. But, yeah.
Like justifiable homicide or excusable homicide, one of those?
I just... You know, I felt like more of the burden needed to be on him personally. And cool. I know that Jessa might have brought this up in one of your jury breaks, or it might have been someone else that brought it up, that there had been another case that was similar to this one where they decided that, you know, the individual ultimately is responsible for his or her own actions.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where I was coming from personally. Was,
sure, I get that.
Yeah, she wasn't there, but he was a grown man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was. Anyone else? How closely aligned were... You don't. By the way, you don't have to answer any of these questions if you don't want to.
This is Macklin answering for Mason. And no, I'm answering for me, actually, but I played Mason. I felt, I would say, like 90 to 95% the same way that Mason did. I was able to get my true opinions out for a lot of it. Listening back to this podcast, there were definitely moments where I didn't articulate my thoughts correctly, or and especially there were moments where I let things go that I wish I had harped on, because I remember thinking these things, but it's amazing what happens when you're with five other people and you're trying to make progress. The things that you're willing to give on and the things that become sticking points they change day to day, right? So the me who recorded the podcast was different than the me who listened to the podcast. So I think there are things that Carl was saying, for example, in the podcast, listening to it, that I was thinking, why didn't I respond to that? That's such a loaded thing to say, and it did not get addressed at all. For the most part, I was pretty consistent with the real me versus the character.
Sierra, again, who played Mandy, I was pretty in line with what Mandy thought. I mean, certain ways that she argued, I probably wouldn't have done exactly the same way. But for the most part, yeah, I believe with this particular imaginary trial, I feel like he had to bear the responsibility for, you know, his actions. There were, you know, dubious circumstances, but he did it to himself. So it was pretty easy to take on Mandy for me. But she went harder on certain items than I probably would have. But but for the most part, I was very well aligned.
Dominic's opinion was pretty close to mine. Actually, pretty much that was my voice, I think, coming out.
Dominic was very reasonable.
Well, yeah. I try to be. And, you know, in it's easy. I mean, I would imagine, you know, when you're serving on a jury or you're in a situation like this where someone's life is on the line, that it's easy to allow emotions and passion to get the better of you. So my approach was always, okay, let's go back, find the logic of this. Why do we feel this way? Why are we arguing this? I was firmly in the manslaughter camp when we were recording it, but the funny thing is listening to it again all these months later and then listening to Jessa and the jury breaks, I have to say I'm undecided now. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
I really don't know. This is a tough case you wrote. It's really tough case. It's not black and white. There's a lot of gray. And It made me reflect on, you know, the incredibly difficult job that juries who are in working cases similar to this, the position that they're in.
Yeah, when there are real stakes.
Yeah. Oh, how do you, like, make a bargain with people about someone's life when you believe that it shouldn't be, you know, like, they shouldn't be guilty? Like, how do you say, like, all right, well, you know, I'll give you this because at least it's less guilty than you want her to be? You know, like, that feels so wrong.
And in particular, when you're working a case that deals with a lifestyle that is so foreign to the people who are judging it, I mean, does that person get a fair trial?
Well, and that was something that a lot of the and, you know, I know most of us who played the jury, we've been following the Facebook page and we've been listening to all the episodes.
It's been very entertaining.
And, you know,
thank
you,
everyone.
It's been so entertaining. But it's been really interesting that a lot of people have brought up that issue of how do people who don't understand this type of community and this type of lifestyle make an informed decision? And that's a really tough question, because I know most of us played characters who weren't familiar with the lifestyle and went in with some sort of preconceived notion as to what it meant. And, you know, that, and it was interesting. A lot of the viewers picked up on that as well. Listeners.
Macklin/Mason said something really great. I forget which episode that was like, so all of these categories of you know, guilt, and like manslaughter versus first degree, second degree, they're all subjective because you're deciding what someone's intent was. And he said, it's our job to make it, to decide what we think is. It's not subjective anymore. It's what we decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We take out the subjectivity.
I remember that speech. It was a really strong speech.
That actually, like, as, you know, like, if I were in a jury, I'd be like, oh my God, I have to decide what the actual answer is.
And that was actually a real epiphany that came to me in that moment. I realized, like, me, the human being, was doing my best to weigh and balance these facts with the legal terminology. And then I realized that there isn't going to be that deus ex machina at the end to, like, tell you, like, this is how it has to be. It's like, oh, wait, we got to make these determinations on our own.
We write the ending ourselves. Yeah. Chelsea didn't give us that.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Well, and I was mentioning earlier, I've been I've been watching Law and Order True Crime, the Menendez brothers, and the last couple episodes were focused on the jury, and it was so funny to watch. It was very surreal to watch that because, like, I was like, they're going through exactly what we were going through, whereas they're like, oh, are we judging the person based on their lifestyle? And, you know, it's not our job to, you know, decide what's right and what's not. And it was just really interesting. So if you haven't watched the show, I encourage you to watch it because the jury situation is very similar. NBC, we're now your unofficial sponsors. But no, Jessa brought it up as well in one of her interviews about it. So yeah, it was really interesting. And there was the one guy on the jury who was the Carl of the jury. In True Crime. There was that one guy.
So he was the smart one.
For those of us who want to be healthier, but struggle finding the best way to do it, finding the time to hit up farmers markets and shop and blend and do all the things we want to do and don't, the greatest thing you can do is use Daily Harvest. It is the easiest method of acquiring quality nutrition that I've ever found. Here's how it works. Daily Harvest sends superfoods straight to your door as smoothies, soups, activated breakfast bowls, or nice cream vegan sundaes. The superfoods are organic and frozen at peak freshness, which seals in all the good nutrients. They arrive in cups, which you throw in your freezer, and when you're ready to make one, it takes just 30 seconds. Throw in water or almond milk or coconut water, you might be fancier than me, and then blend or heat depending on what you're doing. I really liked their soups. I'm stocking up on those most next time. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DELIBERATIONS to get 3 items free off your first box. That's promo code DELIBERATIONS for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com.
This is Sam Carl. It's interesting hearing everybody talk about trying to understand and trying to, I guess, evaluate the lifestyle and really train, because as Carl, that's not something I had to be concerned about at all. Carl came in with a preconceived notion about this is what it is, this is wrong, this is how I feel about it. So I could focus all my energy on trying to prove my point instead of trying to understand, like, what is it these people really do? How could you do that? How do they feel about it? Like, there was no part of my brain that was really concerned with that, because to me, it's flat wrong. And that's it. So I think my approach to it and my approach to the case in general was just coming from such a very different point than a lot of everyone else. And for me as Sam playing Carl, I don't think I know how I originally felt about the case anymore or how I feel about it anymore, because Carl is so absolute and he's so driven that I got completely wrapped up in that, and all I could think of is this is what he thinks about it. So like, I don't even remember what I would have thought about it originally. It'd probably be similar to what everybody else said. I think there's so many different layers to the case. There's so many different levels of this is the criminal act, this is not, but if she did this a little bit differently, then maybe I'd feel differently about this. I think there's so much to it. You could go a lot of different ways, but from playing Carl, I think it was impossible to look at it like that. And I just got wrapped up in it and it just became black and white. Like, that's wrong. That lifestyle is wrong. What they did is wrong. I'm right. And I want everyone else to agree with me on my side of it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just purely focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, for someone like Carl, because of how he felt about this case is so tied to his worldview at large, mm-hmm. it's more important to be right. Because if Carl's not right about this, then he's not right about a lot of things that he professes are true about life in general. You know, absolutisms that he makes on a daily basis apply to things that he would say about this case, about what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's evil and, you know, what's not evil. So I think for him it was more important to be right about as much as possible about this, because it speaks to his worldview in general and to the rest of his life and how he lives his life on a daily basis.
Which is what made those conversations so difficult with him, because the character just would not waver.
Yes.
And you could tell, like, Carl took everything personally, like you just said, Sam. You know, by his view on the case was a reflection of himself. And so how do you have a discussion and a conversation and a negotiation with someone who just fundamentally can't separate themselves from the issue that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And
which we were all just talking about 12 Angry Men before we came in here. And that is so much like that one character, which juror number four or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like he just sees his son in this situation. And so he could not separate that.
I think that's what led to the Facebook discussion group is obviously getting on all of our cases for all these analogies we used throughout the case, especially the parent-child analogies.
So annoying.
Which I want to say for the record, because I believe I was the one that brought it up. I actually regret bringing it up.
Yes.
I
used it multiple times, including once after we had dropped it for like two episodes, I brought it back. I did that. But that's what happens. That's such a human nature thing. You're arguing with someone who is so, they have their heels dug in. It's like you do anything to find common ground. And so we use these at best imperfect, at the worst awful analogies to try to forge some kind of connection with somebody.
Or understanding too, because this is a lifestyle that's so foreign.
Right.
You know, for me, Adam, you know, the actor, yes, it is a lifestyle that I'm foreign to. I do consider myself to try to be an open-minded person, but using imperfect analogies to try to understand it. But I recognize now that that analogy was just so off base.
I have to address the parent because it bothered me too the first time it was brought up, but then I also found myself when we were on a recording break bringing it up myself. I don't remember if I was discussing, you know, the conversation or making a new point, but I remember bringing it up because I remember Sierra, aka Mandy, being like, God, I hate that analogy.
That was so genuine. I was like,
guys, that was every time she expresses annoyance about that in the show, she was very annoyed.
But we use like skydiving, and we used murder weapons, and we had so many analogies.
Playing in the street.
Serial killer analogy.
I think was brought up at one point.
But I think that's just how hard we were all trying. I think as actors, we knew these aren't perfect, but like our characters were desperate to get our point across.
Yeah, find some common ground.
We would
scrape
at the bottom of the barrel.
But at the same time, you have to think that this happens in jury rooms.
Oh, it must.
Every day.
Definitely.
Which really just raises the question of like, do people get a fair... I mean, it's an imperfect system. It's an imperfect system. And unfortunately, I don't know if there is a better system. I mean, that's a whole other discussion within itself. But I never really thought of it in those terms before until we started doing this. And then I started listening to the episodes and hearing the jury breaks. So I'm like, wow.
Yeah. There are a lot of problems in this system. But you guys did a great job. I think everyone overall is like... happy and content with the verdict. You know, there was, I haven't seen a lot of outrage or anything like that.
Jessa didn't agree with the verdict, right?
No.
She wasn't outraged.
I think she thought we went around the whole thing incorrectly.
Well, yeah, but I think that she also like understood why manslaughter was reached, and she couldn't like fully disagree with that either. And you have to understand, like, she comes at it from this perspective of a defense attorney. So she's, you know, again, at the risk of making another analogy, like you were saying, Sam, like you came at it from the perspective of like, I want to view it this way. You know what I mean? And so you know, that was your mindset, and you looked for the corroboration for your points. And that was just the way that, you know, your view was shaped. And I think she does the same thing as a defense attorney, you know? But for those who have been following the Facebook group, like how has your reaction to the fan response been? Positive, negative?
It's been awesome.
It's amazing.
It's been so great. I mean, you know, it's, you know, when you're working on something and you're recording it, you have no idea, you know, how people are going to react to it when you put it out into the world. So to see the reaction it's had, to see the debate that it sparked, I mean, really, I mean, that's what good art should do, you know? Stimulate your thought process, stimulate debate. And to see that happening is just, for me, I'm so incredibly proud to be a part of it and to see that.
Well, it's interesting. The listeners are picking up on the smallest details because I know it was like, I don't even remember what episode it was. It was like two or three or something. Steph, my character, just as an aside, said something like, oh, yeah, you know, I know we're not supposed to watch the news, but I watched this episode. And it was literally like probably like 5 seconds. Like mm-hmm. I said, yeah. And it was gone. And someone picked up yeah. on that mm-hmm. and it was in the Facebook page. And then it was brought up during, I think, a Justin interview.
Yep.
And was like, how is this not a missed child? And she's like, no, that actually happens all the time. I was like, that was literally like a 5 second statement.
You probably forgot that you
totally forgot I'd even said it. And like yeah. all of a sudden I was like, wow, people are really listening to every single detail of this podcast, and yeah. it was really fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that people were so affected by it and have such strong opinions one way or another. But I know that we talked briefly, emailed back and forth, that I don't think either of us expected quite as much of a Carl reaction.
Yeah, as, there was a big Carl reaction.
As the characters got. And, you know, especially from the people that treat him like a villain or, you know, from some of the other people that just have such a visceral response. You know, I never thought of Carl as a villain. I didn't think of him as the bad guy. I just thought of him as a guy, and this is the way he sees the world, and this is how he feels about this case, and he wants to prove himself right. So I think the strength of the reaction was surprising to me, but I think that it's awesome that it affected people so much mm-hmm. because I tried to come at it from a very honest place. And I tried to really speak to who this guy is and, you know, not to use another analogy or something, but it's like the family member at Thanksgiving who, no matter what it is, they have to be right. And they're not going to listen to anything that you have to say, and it just drives you crazy. And, like, from that perspective, I get it. And I get how he said a lot of triggering things, and there was things that he was trying to do to manipulate people in the room, and, you know, and the audience noticed some of that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that things that annoyed the other jury members annoyed them as well. And it's hard for me to even go back and listen to it because I get frustrated listening to him.
Shut up, Carl.
Yeah, I know. So I understand a lot of it. It just, I think how much people reacted to him caught me off guard. And I don't think that we planned him to be the bad guy, but he kind of ended up being viewed like that.
Yeah. That, you know, the reaction to Carl was immediately intense and then got more and more intense. And at first I loved it. It was like people were calling him a dick and like making memes. And
We've got stickers now that say that.
Carl's
a
dick.
Really?
Yeah. We got Carl. We do.
I know, as you were just saying that, I was like, oh, maybe I should remove the Carl's a dick stickers from Sam's folder.
Where?
It's in the front.
But
oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. No, I 100% approve of that.
Okay, good.
I've come to terms with it.
You know, you played Carl really honestly and really bravely. And yeah. I think the jury needed Carl.
We did. Yeah.
You know, like this would not have been as engaging.
Too easy, I think. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been too easy.
I feel like Alice, who played Janet, provided like a really pivotal character point of view for that, to launch Carl as a character, because she was aligned with him but more soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. Right. So like he wasn't the only voice in the room that was persuasion, but he was the loudest and the most persistent.
Yeah, he drowned me out a few times. And I just let him go.
Yeah.
It's like the family member at Thanksgiving. You just kind of let him go and you roll your eyes and look the other way.
That's true. I think that's actually a very good point, that without her, his strength in any of his arguments is lessened to a significant degree, because all of a sudden the rest of the jury knows it's just him.
Yeah.
Like it's just him the whole time. So I think it's easier to dismiss, and at some point he would have had to recognize that. But knowing that, like, he always had his sidekick, at least for the most part, it's that little bit of encouragement, like, no, I've got her, I just need the person
strength
after
and
that.
Numbers,
then I need one more person after that, as opposed to, no, there's no opening here anywhere. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And strategy-wise, because, you know, I don't know, it'd be interesting to hear how much other people as characters were thinking about strategy and about winning while we were doing this, in addition to just purely making the arguments for the case, because I know as Carl, there was so much thought about how do I do this to win, in addition to just saying what I felt about the case. Like, that was very much a part of, I think, a lot of what Carl did, and I'm interested to hear if that was the same for you guys or if it was more about just debating the merits of the case.
It was near the end.
Yeah.
I think when everyone except for Janet and you were on for manslaughter, it was a matter of, okay, well, how do we get you two to flip over to the side? And I think at one point I even asked you point blank, what would it take to get you?
You did. You asked that a couple times.
Right.
So at that point, it kind of felt like that's the way the jury was going. Mm-hmm. And really didn't want it to end up as a hung jury. Like, I actually felt very invested in that. So it was about just trying to get you to, okay, let's try to figure out what your logic is. What is your reasoning? Mm-hmm. And how can we refute that? How can we redirect it to bring you over to our side?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, for Steph, her whole, at least the way I played the characters, I felt like her whole purpose was to try and find common ground between both opposite viewpoints. And she was kind of open to going both ways. And I just always wanted to try and find that middle ground. Whereas me, Lindsay, the actor, would have been just like vehemently expressing her opinion and trying to get people on her side. But I was like, no, Steph has to be like the mediator and figure out, can we start coming together? And so that's kind of what was going on in my head the whole time was, you know, how can we make this as even as possible and be open to listening to opposite viewpoints and try and find a way to come together. And so that was more my strategy as opposed to trying to win someone over to one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. Playing Mandy, it was really fun to be on an extreme. I don't know what it would have been like to be Steph or Dominic or anyone like in the middle.
Those wishy-washy ones.
It was so kind of relieving. I don't know if you feel the same way, Sam, playing Carl, but like knowing what I'm like, given this character, and being like, oh, okay, I'm that one. All right, this is where I'm going from, and it's kind of a relief. And so when we did the first, and I was just reminded of this listening to it again, but when we did that, I forget, just like the second episode, we did a preliminary vote as to guilty, not guilty, and then one person did undecided. Mm-hmm. And I saw that like it was kind of stacked against me. I knew I was the not guilty. So I was like, all right, I have one person on my side, one person's undecided. Okay. So I'm gonna make, like, I knew Carl was my like arch nemesis from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
So then it was just like trying to devalue anything he said.
and you did a good job.
That was so awesome.
I noticed.
So that was Mandy's strategy, where it was like, okay, I need to, like, obviously, I could, you know, you could tell, you did such a great job of showing that you weren't going to budge, that it's like, all right, he's going to have to be shamed into, you know, even, like, did low blows of saying, like, born-again Christians are a cult.
And and you brought up, like, his past drug use, and you're like, you used to be a sinful person.
Anyone's personal life, really.
That got me on his side even more. I was like, poor guy.
Did you come up with the term defective people on your own, or had you heard that before? That's such a strong phrase that you use. Really,
I think it just came to me in the moment. I think I was just trying to think of the most evocative, like, you know.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
That was direct, so visceral to
direct,
hear that.
Direct way of saying it that really inflected with as much weight as possible. And that's just what came out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is no wonder why I love this extraordinary group of performers. They're warm, brilliant, and charming, and next week we're hearing the second half of our reunion. Until then, on Monday, we're hearing Jessa Nicholson's thoughts on sentencing, so remember to stay subscribed because I'm releasing a bonus episode of Samantha Hall's sentencing hearing sometime in December. Next Wednesday, when we wrap up the jury's reunion, I'll be giving you the rundown on the trial of Season 2, which is releasing January 3rd. If you want to check out the fabulous performers from the Samantha Hall jury, go to deliberationspod.com and scroll down to the cast gallery. They're awesome. Have a great week, everyone, and thank you again for listening and supporting.